Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. We hope everyone having a great night tonight. We've got a fantastic show planned. Award-winning photographer and children's book author Tim Ostermeyer is going to be talking with us in a little bit as we talk about some of his worldwide travels and his fantastic photography and his books. It's going to be great, so we hope everyone has a chance to hang out with us for an hour. And don't forget, you can always download our programs after the broadcast. Tell your friends at www.blogtalkradio.com/Larry-Batson or just Google Larry Batson with two T's, Wild World, and it'll come up, and you can get right to the Blog Talk site and download all of our shows from past and also the fine one we're going to have for you tonight. As always, handling the technical responsibility, Melissa Hovey, our studio producer, and technical engineer Wayne Larson, Jim Johnson in charge of the music, and from his massive Wild World News studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, the distinguished, and on vacation, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Well, good evening, Mr. Batson. You know, vacation sometimes, it always isn't the best thing because you end up working more than you do doing your normal work.
And I assume that's what you're doing on your vacation?
That's all I'm doing, yes. So I need a vacation to recover from my vacation.
Well, you speak a lot of truth there, Dr. Day. And I also, before I forget tonight, we want to wish Dr. Henry Day happy birthday, which happens to be this Saturday, and you'll be how many years roaming this planet?
It's only 57 this year.
Oh, well, not long till the big 60.
I'm not quite as old as you are.
You would bring that up. We'd also like to mention tonight, today I felt like I was in front of a worldwide known celebrity as we enjoy the Monster Quest, and our beloved studio producer Melissa Hovey was on today. Did you happen to catch that, Dr. Day?
No, I didn't. I was pretty busy today, but I will definitely not miss it.
Well, we encourage all of our listeners to check out the Monster Quest show as the female team goes in the search of Bigfoot on Monster Quest. And I think they found one. I think his name is Wayne, and she drug him home.
Oh, that explains a lot.
That explains everything. The following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the new children's book by Cheryl and yours truly, Larry Batson. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com or send check or money order for $10 per copy. WES 4140 North, 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135. Shipping and handling is included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for Thursday, July 7th. Now, our top story tonight, we're heading off to Greenville, Texas. Thousands of people came from miles around this past week to see and honor a legend in the flesh, the white buffalo born in a thunderstorm on a northeast Texas ranch. Now, the rare white buffalo calf, regarded as sacred by the Lakota Sioux, was honored with Native American prayers, religious songs, and the solemn smoking of a pipe in a special naming and dedication ceremony at the Lakota Ranch in Greenville, which is about 50 miles northeast of Dallas. Now, the calf was named Lightning Medicine Cloud, a reference to the thunderstorm that marked the arrival of his birth, as well as a tribute to a white buffalo born in 1933 named Big Medicine. Now, according to the Lakota Sioux tradition, Kuopi, the goddess of peace, once appeared in the form of a white buffalo calf. Some say the goddess will return once such calves have been born. Now, when Lightning Medicine Cloud turns two, another ceremony will be held and other prophecies revealed. Now, the reason why this is such big medicine is that the rare white buffalo is an omen that signifies the arrival of hard times unless people learn to change their ways.
Oh, that explains it all. Can you imagine Dr. Day being there on that ranch in Texas when there's lightning and storming and there's this white buffalo being born? I mean, that is, my gosh, that is big medicine.
Yep, it's magic, and we'll find out here in the future.
We're going to keep up on this story.
All right, now, all along our coastlines, there's a lot of wildlife moving around. It's 'tis the season. Now, in Annapolis, Maryland, the State Department of Natural Resources is urging boaters and beachgoers to report stranded dolphins, bottlenose dolphins, turtles, manatees, whatever. Now, there's been a lot of problems along the coastline with the animals getting injured. Now, people should stay at least 150 feet away from the animals to keep from disturbing their normal activities. And boaters should turn off their engines if a turtle or dolphin swims nearby. Now, why is that?
Well, my concern would be boat propellers, because more manatees have been injured by boat propellers than just about anything. I mean, yes, so.
And the noise hurts their little ears.
And the noise does hurt their little ears. It hurt my little ear. Well, my ears aren't too little, so I take that back. Yes, absolutely.
All right, here's a story we're going to call Muddy. Portland, Maine. Record high prices for immature eels on the world market prompted some anglers to seek the eels during the spring season, which is the off-season, despite threats of fines. Now, immature eels, known as elvers, listen to this, were fetching up to $1,200 a pound.
My Lord.
For eels, immature eels.
Gosh.
Now, Lieutenant John Cornish of the Maine Marine Patrol said that about 100 summonses were issued for eel fishing violations, compared with only 20 last year.
That's quite incredible. $1,200 a pound. They must be tasty, I'll tell you.
I've never had eel before, but I don't think I can afford them anyway.
You won't be able to buy it at Burger King, I'm sure.
All right, now here's a good story. Los Angeles, California. A trio of Tyrannosaurus Rex skeletons will be on display in the Dinosaur Hall at the National History Museum when it opens on July 16th. Now, the three T-Rexes include an 11-foot tall, a 2-year-old, and the youngest known T-Rex fossil in the world. Now, all three fossils were found in the Badlands of Montana.
Wow.
That should be a pretty cool exhibit.
We should go.
Let's.
We should leave tomorrow. That'll give us plenty of time. Can I tell you my dinosaur story really quick?
Sure.
I was at a sports show many years ago in the fine state of Ohio. That's, of course, where Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson do reside. And there was one of the taxidermists there, person that stuffs wild animals, and he had these beautiful fiberglass dinosaur heads on display. And this fine citizen of Cleveland, Ohio, walks up to the booth, and he looks at these dinosaur heads made out of fiberglass, and quite seriously asked the taxidermist where those were shot, where they'd been killed at. And without missing a beat, he said they were killed by a crater in North Dakota. And he said, gentleman says, well, can I book a hunt? Is that possible to go to this crater and hunt dinosaurs? And without missing that second beat, he says, yes, sir, you can. He says, those trips cost $2,000 a person. So this gentleman from Cleveland, Ohio, pulls out his checkbook and proceeds to start writing a check for one of these hunts as his 9-year-old, very embarrassed son proceeded to tell his father, Dad, dinosaurs have been extinct for a long, long time. Those are fiberglass.
Well, I'm glad he told him because we don't need him carrying a gun around, do we?
No, but anybody that unintelligent needs to lose $2,000. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt the broadcast.
All right. Well, on a sad note, grizzly kills hiker at Yellowstone Park. Now, we've warned people in the past about when it's bear season, beware. Now, a grizzly bear killed a hiker in Yellowstone National Park's backcountry, and it was the first fatal bear mauling in the park since 1986. Now, park spokesman Al Nash said that it appeared the man and his wife surprised a female grizzly and her cubs. I guess they have just casually strolled between her and her cubs, which is really not a good thing. Now, they interviewed the wife and got all the details, and the park officials say that they won't take any action against the bear.
Well, that's very unfortunate. Our prayers for his wife had been a horrible thing to witness, but that's grizzly bears protecting their young. And they tell these hikers in these parks to make as much noise as possible when you're hiking these trails where grizzly bears and even black bears are native to. So let the bears know you're coming so they can get out of there. Then that's for sure what had happened.
Yeah.
So that's just too bad. But, guys, that's the last one since 1986?
That's pretty incredible in itself.
Well, you think of the millions of visitors that go to Yellowstone. That's, 25 years.
And the bear population, yeah.
Yeah, I think you have better odds being struck by lightning going to Yellowstone than being mauled by a bear. So don't let that scare you away, folks. Go to the parks.
One of the most beautiful places in the world.
Yes.
All right, we're off to Honolulu, Hawaii. A 10 to 12 foot long snake was found near an Oahu prison. Now, he was just on the wrong side of the fence, I guess. Now, the snake slithered across the dirt road near the Waiawa Correctional Facility. Now, Honolulu police officers and a law enforcement officer from the Department of Land and Natural Resources took the python to the Honolulu Zoo. And they said the next day they were going to take it to a movie. Oh.
You should be ashamed.
Okay, I'm sorry for that story. I apologize.
He should.
All right, now here's a follow-up to a story we did about a month ago. Toledo, Ohio. The zoo announced the winning name of its male African elephant born this month. Lucas was finally picked as the name, and we had suggested that Larry or Henry or Billy Henson was our guest on that show. We even suggested Billy, but they chose Lucas. The name was in honor of Lucas County voters who supported the zoo, so it's a county there.
Well, that's a great name and a great reason to name the elephant that. So very cool.
All right. Well, our last story tonight. We're heading off to Cumberland, Ohio. Now, American burying beetles were released at the nearby 10,000-acre wildlife conservation center known as the Wilds. Now, it's part of an effort to reestablish the species in the state. Now, the beetle was once found in 35 states, but since 1989 became the first insect listed as an endangered species. Now, I did not know that.
Well, really?
Yep, you don't think about there being a problem with insects, but I guess we need them.
Well, we do, absolutely. And I'll tell you, I've driven by the Wild several times as we've headed east on 70, so That's very cool. Very, very cool. Well, that's our Wild World News for tonight.
That's our Wild World News for July 7th.
Well, we'd like to thank Dr. Henry Day. Once again, an outstanding job with the Wild World News. I want to tell everyone to check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our brand new Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with photos and information about our animal family. Also, a big thank you to RadioMom.fm and the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And why don't you listen to my show, The 70s on Sunday, every Sunday, 12 to 7, at RadioMom.fm. Also, a big thank you to Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes, 171,000 acres, 450 miles of shoreline, fantastic fishing, amazing golf. Go to their website at www.santeecoopercountry.org. And also the iKids Fishing Show with iKidsFishing.com. It's the first kids fishing show in the USA, starting kids, teaching kids how to fish. 450 million fishermen spending $45 billion a year. Wow. The iKids Fishing Show is a keeper. More info is available at the website www.wewantyou.com. That's the home of the We Want You Cottages at Chautauqua Lake in western New York, one of America's finest fishing resorts. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, tonight, all the way from Texas. In fact, he's on his big book tour. Master photographer, award-winning photographer, I should say. He's traveled around the world with some of the most magnificent images captured on film. Our guest, author, photographer, Tim Ostermeyer is here. Good evening, Tim.
Thank you, Larry. It's good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you along. I have to tell you, excuse me, I received a copy of your new book, I assume, Snowball's Antarctic Adventures.
And yes, that's my latest.
That's your latest. And I want to tell the listeners around the world that the images are absolutely exquisite. What a trip that must have been.
Well, thank you for saying that. Larry, it was a trip of a lifetime. I've traveled all around the world, just every place I could, and I've never been on a trip. I had better lighting, better subjects, closeness to the subjects, perfect weather conditions, gorgeous iceberg backdrops, gorgeous emperor penguins, babies, chick on feet that only 40 people on Earth ever see because it only happens in winter. You can't get there in the winter, and the second ship is too late. All the chicks are off the feet. When I went to the first ship in the spring, went to see the emperors, only 3 out of 3,000 had chick on feet. So I even got pictures of that in the book, which is on the cover. It's like the holy grail of the penguin shot. I mean, that trip was just perfect from start to finish.
When you describe that, of course, I guess everybody should be fairly familiar with penguins because of the film. Gosh, I can't even think of the name of it right offhand. The children's film with a fantastic. You know the one I'm talking about, Tim?
Yeah. March of the Penguins.
March of the Penguins, yes. But these photographs, and when you say chicks on the feet, the baby chicks are sitting on, I assume it's mother's feet, with her plumage helping protect them against the elements, I assume.
Yes, it's the only animal where the chicks aren't born on a nest.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't placed on a nest, placed on the mother's feet. And it's born on the feet. And then she carries around the cracked egg with the baby out of the egg for a while yet until he's big enough to get off the feet and go on his own. And she keeps him warm there under her feet, on top of her feet, under her flap of skin, until he's big enough to crawl up to get away and get on his own.
So in this particular area where these photographs were shot, I assume not too many people have the opportunity to go there.
That's exactly right. Most people make the mistake when they go to Antarctica. They don't check to see exactly where they're going. Mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 trips to Antarctica do not go to where the emperors are. They go to the tip of Antarctica where there's no emperors, which means no cute babies because the other penguins don't have cute babies.
Mm-hmm.
See, the closest emperors is Snow Hill Island. So you'll have to pay about $15,000 these days to go to Snow Hill Island to see the emperors. But if you go, make sure it's the first ship in the spring so you get there early enough to see chick on feet. Because like I said, that's the holy flipping job.
Well, they're absolutely fantastic. How did the penguins respond with having someone so close to their young?
Well, that's a great question, Larry. You know, when I was agreed to pay $12,000 at the time, I said, called them up. I said, hey, am I going to get close enough to these penguins to make it worth my while to go down there? And they said, well, by law, you can get within 15 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, yeah, that ought to work just fine. And they actually said, if they crawl up, walk up to you and sit in your lap, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, turns out they're not threatened. To answer your question, they're not threatened by us. Every other animal on Earth is, because every other place on Earth, we're running after the animals, we're shooting BB guns at the animals, we're running them over with cars, we're shooting bow and arrows at them, we're shooting rifles at them, and they're scared to death of humans.
Mm-hmm.
In Antarctica, one is taught never to do any of that. We can't even run up to them. We can't walk through their colony. We can't get within 15 feet. We can't chase them. We can't throw anything at them. We can't touch them. And so they've never been threatened once by one human being. And because of that, they think that you're just another nice animal down there, and they're not threatened by you one bit.
They have very few predators, I assume, in that area. Is that correct?
That is fairly correct. Probably the only one would be the leopard seal and a couple of the other seals. And, you know, the first, I always see the penguins ready to dive back into the water whenever they walk the 50 miles away from where the babies are to where the water is so they can get some food. And it's always funny to me because the penguins are looking at them, each other, saying, all right, who wants to be the first one to jump in? Because it turns out there's probably a leopard seal under that water. And I'm thinking, like, okay, it's your turn, buddy. You go in first time this time, you know.
Well, I'll tell you one of the most remarkable photographs. Well, they're all, but the one on the back above your biography, where it looks like one's almost touching your tripod, and you're laying on your stomach on the ice. And in the picture, it looks like you're about 3 feet from the penguins.
Yeah, well, that is a cute shot. And I actually entered that in a professional photography contest last year. And I called it the penguin crossing because the one penguin has his flaps out right next to the tripod as if all the other penguins were going to cross there. And I got a call from Professional Photographer Magazine last month, and they want to put that, they like the image so much, they want to put in the Professional Photographer Magazine in the next couple of months, one of the next upcoming magazines. So the image you talked about, everyone seems to like, yeah.
How many days were you actually in Antarctica?
It's a 16-day trip. It takes about 3.5 to 4 days to get there, another 4 days to get back. So you really have about 7.5 days of photography.
Mm-hmm.
And you have about 5 days with the emperor. You have 1 day with the Adelies, and you have 1 day with the Chinstraps. And so it works out pretty nice. That gives you the most chances for good light with the emperors. And I was just so blessed because I had 5 out of 5 sunshiny days with the emperors that are in my book, Snowball Antarctic Adventures.
And when you refer to the Adelies, just for our listeners, that's another species of penguin.
Yes, and so the Adelies are very fast walkers compared to
uh-huh.
the emperors. The emperors little, and the Adelies just run. The chin straps have the cute little strap under their chin, and the Gentoos have a white mark on top of the head and a yellow beak, and all those penguins are in my book. And there's actually 10 facts for each of those animals that are in my children's book, along with a nice story and a nice moral message at the end. And that's why I think why so many mothers like it, because it has those three things in the book that so many books don't have. My
mm-hmm.
children's books have God's creation, and picture, and it has fact boxes, and then it has a moral message at the end.
How long did it actually take for you to become completely attuned to this Antarctic wilderness? Were you... felt like you were almost a part of it?
I would say very quickly. I don't think there was a more touching moment there or anywhere in my life than when I had 500 penguins on my left, and I went to 2.5 miles into off the helicopter, so there was actually no other humans at this point either.
Mm-hmm.
500 penguins on my right, 500 penguins on my left, penguins running from my right to left, 10 feet in front of me, 5 baby penguins walking within 5 feet of me, running up to me, 1 little baby penguin walking up to within 1 foot of me and staring at me.
Wow.
I said to myself, my entire life, and it was all backlit with ice, with beautiful ice formations and icebergs and things, and I said to myself, and they were backlit on one side, so the beautiful backlighting situation on one side, and they were...
Did we lose Tim?
Hello?
Hello, did we lose Tim?
I think we must have. Yeah, he just went quiet all of a sudden. We must have dropped him.
I'll tell you what, it's a good time to go to break. We'll get him back online. How about that?
Okay. Okay, so we'll go ahead and take the break, and I'll get the guest back on the line.
You're listening to Larry Batz's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, 1 second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. Only you can prevent wildfires.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Cassie, the kitty cat's yelling. What's that? It's not a kitty, it's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
It's bobcat, heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back with Tim Ostermeyer here in just a few moments. We want to tell everybody that you can download all of our shows from the past. Just go to the website, blogtalkradio.com, Larry-Batson, or just Google Larry Batson Wild World, and you'll get to the site. We also want to tell everyone we've got some great shows planned for the next upcoming weeks. Next week on our show, fantastic vocalist Jenny DeVoe will be with us as we share her musical career with everyone, so we hope you have a chance to tune in. The week after that, guitar legend, rock and roll legend, I should say, Rick Derringer will be joining us on the 21st. Remember Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo and, oh, the great band the McCoys. He toured with Johnny Winter. He's on tour right now with Ringo Starr's All-Star Band, so we want to hear all about that. That'll be on the 21st. And on the 28th, one of my favorite bands of all time, Utopia, the fantastic percussionist, drummer Willie Wilcox will be with us. So we hope you have a chance to tune in and listen to our show each week or download it at any time. Tell your friends and become a friend of Larry Batson's Wild World. It's all on the site. It takes a couple clicks, you're there, and we'd love to have you along. Also, we'd like to thank McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. It's on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park, one of the prettiest places anywhere. We call it God's Country. Go to their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. Also, Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones, taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road, traveling thousands of miles with our wild animal ambassadors. Give them a call at 317-243-0700. And we encourage everyone to become an individual underwriter, such as Jeannie Harold, all the way from West Virginia. Go to our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, on how to get a hold of us. We'll tell you how easy it is to do to become an individual underwriter and help support Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest tonight, all the way from Texas, he's on his book tour, master photographer, award-winning photographer, I should say, Tim Ostermeyer is with us. Did we make our connection back?
I believe, yes, we did, Larry.
Oh, fantastic. So we were talking about Antarctica, and what a fantastic trip that had to be. But this isn't your first book, and you've been to, well, tell our listeners some of the places you've had an opportunity to go and photograph wildlife.
Sure. Well, I started just with a trip to Hawaii for scenics, and then before I knew it, I had 750 people see the scenic shots and asked me to shoot their wedding. That was maybe a mistake. I was working as an engineer at the time, and all of a sudden, I was just getting too much work. And so kind of right now, writing the books is being able to use my talents as a wedding photographer. But to answer your question, I've been everywhere from shooting moose up in Maine to Arctic foxes up in the Arctic in Canada. I shot polar bears up there in the Arctic of Canada. I've shot walruses in the Arctic of Norway. I've shot foxes up in Minnesota. I've shot cougars in North Dakota. I've been Indian tigers, African lions, Central American jaguars. I mean, I've literally been around the world and put those images in these four books.
Well, it was of all these animals you shot. Now, I think I may know the answer. What was the biggest challenge? I mean, which was the toughest to shoot as far as location and locating the animals?
Maybe one that never made the book. I was kind of looking for white goats one time, and I didn't see one there in Maine until the ninth day. And so it actually took 9 full days to find the goat. Maybe another
what kind of goat?
More. I don't even know exactly what kind of goat it was. I'm not an expert at goats, but it was all white. It was a beautiful goat. So fired up about it when he ran right past me in the middle of the street trying to get my one 300-millimeter lens off to put another lens on it. I kicked the tripod over the 300-millimeter lens and was flying right into the concrete from 7 feet. Luckily, I had a filter. on top of it, and boy, you talk about the durability of Nikon lenses. That lens didn't get damaged one bit. So I was praising Nikon for years after that. But another time when I was shooting the lions, I wasn't in a vehicle, and so that was kind of a testing time to see it and make sure. I was hoping he wasn't going to head in my direction. I didn't have the protection of a vehicle at that time. And so,
you're in Africa out of a vehicle photographing lions.
Right. Well, I didn't anticipate running into one.
No.
I didn't expect to see a lion on the beach, but he was. And that's the thing about lions. They go anywhere they want to. Okay.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
Where do lions go? Anywhere they want to.
You know, when they say the king of beasts, of course, there's a lot of debate on that subject, but a male African lion is quite the intimidating subject matter.
Exactly, and thankfully I was at a decent distance, which gave me some unbelievable shots in my tiger book of that lion. I'm sure he could sniff me out and see me, but he didn't make a move to me. I was thankful for that. I've been chased by a moose. I've been chased by an elk. I've been bitten by a wolf. So I've had my moments.
So we want to talk about all those, but I'm quite curious on the polar bears. And I've always, my good friend Jim Fowler talked about polar bears. They'd shot several episodes of the old Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, and basically in their domain, they are the king predator, and everything is beneath them.
Yeah.
So there's a whole new amount of caution taken when approaching
Absolutely.
Or working with polar bears.
The two times I went up there to photograph polar bears,
Larry, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Picked up the hat, and within 5 seconds, that polar bear ran about 100 yards, and he just missed it, that polar bear. And
We lost you for a little bit, Tim. Start your story over. I apologize. We lost your connection.
No problem. So, yeah, this Tundra driver, he went and next to find this hat. This lady lost her hat. She drove the vehicle right next to the hat, so he could go straight down that hat. When he walked down to get that hat, within 5 seconds, that polar bear had ran close to 150 feet, 200 yards, and almost got him before he could get back in the vehicle in 10 seconds. Another doctor I heard was photographing in one direction, a polar bear in one direction. He didn't see the polar bear coming in the other direction, and it pulled his arm off.
So
a medical doctor on it, right out of the vehicle. And so you just have to be very, very cautious. I have a picture that actually went into the Professional Photographer magazine a couple years ago of a polar bear trying to get in a Tundra vehicle. He was on his toes, and his hands were on top of the inside the windows, trying to climb in the window of the Tundra buggy.
There's something else. There, I had a good friend to train polar bears, and I had the utmost respect for that man because polar bears are just—they're different as far compared to other types of bears.
They really are, and they look so beautiful and so cute and cuddly, and every girl likes polar bear stuffed animals and loves my book on stuffed on polar bears, but I tell you what, they're really ferocious, dangerous animals.
Now, you've also did a book on tigers. I have to confess, we have six tigers here at our compound, and without a doubt, they are the most remarkable, beautiful animals in the world. What part of the world did you go to photograph your tigers?
That was India, and that was a long time ago when they still had tigers. You know, I had three people I ran into who actually went to India in the last 3 years to photograph tigers, and they couldn't even find one. And so I was just so lucky that I did it, you know, 15 or 20 years ago when there were still plenty of them there.
I don't want to say the easiest way, but what was your method on photographing tigers?
Well, they're on the back of the elephant right there, and so that's kind of the safety of an elephant. Feel like you're in danger at that point.
Uh-huh.
And you sort of want to be walking around and taking pictures of them. You know, I went up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And we were photographing this ram, a buddy of mine, and this Japanese guy decided he wanted a picture with the ram, so he walked up to put his arm around him to get a picture with him. And the ram took off, and my friend was so upset, he was yelling and cursing at him.
Isn't it amazing how people just get stupid around wild animals?
Yes. Yes, it is. They think they're all like little puppy dogs or something, you know? And that guy could have got his head butted with this ram. This is a longhorn ram.
Yeah.
You know? Put his arm around him like he's a long-lost friend or something.
Well, I remember a gentleman I knew years ago. There used to be an area up in upstate New York at a dump where the bears would congregate at night. People would go up there to see them. And he said, one night I had to leave because this man literally took his child and set it on the back of a bear for a photograph.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
Oh, and, you know, and there was an episode in Yellowstone National Park years ago, and you were talking about photographing moose, where I believe it was in Hayden Valley in Yellowstone, where a moose was out in the pasture, you know, being a moose, and everybody wanted to get, and they literally had this moose surrounded. Any direction, if it decided to, it was going to bolt, it would have mowed someone down. And the story is they just about had to destroy the moose for fear of the lawsuits that would happen if it decided to take off and run and really seriously hurt or kill somebody.
Oh, wow. Yeah, moose are very dangerous. Yeah, they're a very large animal. It can incur a lot of damage. I surprised a moose once in the forest of Maine and got too close to him before he started chasing me.
What did Tim Ostermeyer do being chased by a moose?
Well, my body was thinner than his antler rack, so, you know, I can go between two trees, you know, there he can't get through. So, thank God.
You know, it wasn't funny at the time, but now probably if you look back upon it.
Oh, the wolf that's in my fox book, in my first book, Nature's Resting Ender, there's a shot of him growling in that book, okay, where he's just looking right at the camera and growling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was right before he bit me. So that,
it was.
Like when he's in a mood to go after you and bite you, you know. And they always say if an animal notices you, you're probably too close. You know, if he's running after you, you're really too close. If he bites you, you are definitely too close. There's no doubt about it.
Well, that's quite amazing, because wolves are usually so timid that he'd be that courageous.
Yeah, I think I was just within his comfort zone. And you know, it wasn't like he kept attacking me.
Uh-huh.
He went after my leg, one bite, and he when I say he bit me, he really bit my pants leg. So he missed my leg by, like, flesh of my leg by like an inch or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he was just given notice that I was too in his territory, and he wanted me out of there.
What's your favorite shoot that you've ever been on besides your aunt Antarctica? Because I imagine that's probably one of your top ones. But
I would say it's in the Banff Jasper area.
Yeah.
Just going up there and seeing this unbelievable beauty.
We're losing Tim again. I know he'll come back.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm
okay.
Here.
Okay. So, what, you know,
just
if you go to the Banff Jasper. Okay.
Okay.
In the Banff Jasper area,
yeah.
You go there in the fall, you're going to see the most beautiful scenics in the entire world, you know,
mm-hmm.
that with the most unbelievable water, the gorgeous mountains, with animals coming down off the mountains in fall, you know, the elk and the ram and the goats and all that and the sheep, all with the beautiful scenics. And so, to me, it just – and there was it wasn't the crowds there. You know, like if you go to Yellowstone or in the summer or Yosemite at any time of the year, I mean, you're just going to be swamped with other people.
Right.
You know, in Jasper and Banff, there was nobody there.
That is – I have been there. That is absolutely spectacular. Well, any time of the year. I couldn't even imagine it in the fall. It would just be with the fall colors. And the wildlife display is extraordinary.
Yeah, it really was.
In fact, I can still recall, we used to go up into Colorado, and you'd have to hike for miles and miles into the mountains to see bighorn sheep at a distance with binoculars. And we went up when we were heading over the Canadian line. Well, really, it was watered in Canada, Peace Park, next to Glacier. And the bighorn were in the road, and they'd stick their heads in the car looking for handouts.
Wow.
It was just remarkable. I mean, and of course the Banff area and Jasper and Yoho and all that area is just if the listeners have never been there, and Tim has testified to this just moments ago, it is absolutely spectacular.
Oh yeah, you get that fog rolling in the morning against that turquoise aqua blue water against that unbelievably lush mountains that, you know, change shape from mountain to mountain. And then you get, you know, elk coming down off the mountains, that, you know, as your focal point. it's pretty unbelievable, yeah.
What have you got planned ahead so that our listeners can look forward to?
You know, my four books on baby foxes, baby penguins, baby polar bears, baby tigers. I feel like I've taken the four cutest animals on Earth and put books together with them. And so my next book is coming out is on baby snow monkeys. And the next book after that, I'm going to go to Australia in November. I'm going to photograph baby kangaroos.
Wow.
Baby koalas. I think that I'll call that a day. And after that, and I'll have a six series book of the six cutest baby animals on Earth. And then it's just going to be matter of, you know, selling them. And I'm really going from homeschool convention to homeschool convention to another, selling the four books I do have. And the two that I'll have coming out here in the next couple of months, I'll have six books next year when I make the tour.
So the baby snow monkeys, I assume you're going to Japan?
I went to Japan three times for that. I did it in June when they're 1 month old.
Uh-huh.
In fall with the fall color. And I did it in winter. And so all three seasons are in the book.
Those snow macaques are extraordinary, aren't they?
They really are. And, you know, it's funny, in the fall, they're really fired up with testosterone and, you know, ready to mate. And
mm-hmm.
they don't put up any shenanigans from any other monkeys. I mean, you just one monkey looks at the monkey wrong, and he's going to be attacked from, you know, 30 feet just because he didn't like the way he looked at him. And but with people around there, you know, they don't mess with the people.
They don't.
And so, you know, here that they're, you know, their private parts are, you know, 10 times larger than normal because they've always testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're angry all can be, and they're just attacking every other monkey in within, you know, sight. But
yeah.
All the humans around it. Well, it's just the craziest thing, you know.
And people, it's just hard to comprehend that the monkeys are in the snow, they're in the water. It's just, and the society that these macaques have, and as you've talked about, the males attacking each other, it is so, I mean, we could learn a lot from that society, except for maybe all the constant fighting in the mating season. Well, that goes on humans, too. I should. Well, I'll tell you, Tim, we're raising a baby olive baboon that you would would be a fantastic subject. I mean, baby baboons, that's a whole different deal.
That would be a sight to see. I'd love to see that.
Well, it's just, as we put it, a two-legged party. It's just absolutely amazing. So, do you have a favorite part of the world you've been that you thought, even if I didn't take a camera, I'd like to go back? Would that be Banff and Jasper? Or?
Well, you know, if I was just given another trip to go anywhere again, it would be, of course, back to Antarctica. And I was on the ice break with a few people, and one person said, yeah, this is my 9th trip to Antarctica. Now, first of all, you know, someone's got to have a lot of money to spend $15,000 9 times, okay? But
wow.
Second of all, that just shows you how beautiful it was that someone was willing to pay $15,000 9 times to see it, okay? You know? So that would be my first choice. Banff would be the second. And then, you know, seeing the polar bears up in Canada, you know, is just a sight to behold. And so if you don't mind the flat land up there, you know, in the snow, it's covered in snow, so it's not terrible, but it's just, there's no mountains. I mean, if you just want to see beautiful wildlife, beautiful polar bears, I mean, they're all over the place with one baby, two babies, three babies. I mean, you'll see it all there. And so that was really beautiful too. I went to Norway just to add to the book on the polar bears that I've got, mountainous shots with polar bears. Now, there weren't as many polar bears there, and that's why I didn't enjoy that trip quite as much, because there were much fewer sightings of polar bears than there was in Canada.
Wow.
But
well,
I did get really nice when I did see them, yeah.
And what's Norway like? That's a country that a lot of people, you know, they're not that familiar. What's it like? What are the people like there?
People are real nice and friendly and all dressed real warm, of course. And, you know, what you see up there that you don't see anywhere else are the walruses. And, you know, when you see those long teeth in the walrus, and I've got that in my polar bear book and the Frosty and Snowy's Arctic Adventures book. I've got them in there. And it's just so beautiful to see those walruses there. And, you know, to see, you know, a group of walruses together on the beach. And it was just breathtaking and spectacular. And so that's kind of what you see in Norway. And you see all these mountains. I mean, it's these Arctic animals that are in these beautiful scenic backdrops with the mountains and things. And, you know, I just didn't see that kind of backdrops in Canada with the polar bears, and that's why I went to the Arctic in the book, yeah.
Well, I'd always thought walruses were the kind of animal that even the finest photography really doesn't do them justice as seeing them firsthand.
Yeah, and you have to really be a little bit lucky because they're just not everywhere up there. You probably only get about one or two groups, probably two or three groups of walruses. And if they're just all sitting there laying on the beach and sleeping, I mean, you're not going to get much of any shots at all because they'll all be, you know, rolled up in a ball next to each other and you can't even get a decent shot. But if they're moving around and one walks out to the water and one's in the water and he takes his head out of the water with the tusks looking at you, oh, I got some shots like that. And it's in my Frosty and Snowy and Frosty book of polar bears. It's in that book. Oh, and it's just unbelievable when you see those long tusks hanging out of the water and that blue water walrus looking at you like that. It's just breathtaking.
We've written two children's books, and I've always thought there's no feeling like it is when a child picks up the book that you've created, you've worked so hard on, and picks it up and looks at you with these eyes of wonderment, thinking, wow, I had a chance to meet the author, the illustrator, the photographer of this book, and watch that child walk away with your book. That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
It really is, you know, when they want their picture taken with me and, you know, they want me to hold the book open for them, for their parents when they take the picture, and they look in my eyes. And, you know, when they come up to me and they, their parents can't afford the book. And I've taken, when I sell the four books, I take $20 off. And I say, okay, $20 off the sticker price for $13.95. You can have each one of these children's books, you know, instead of $18.95. Mm-hmm. And you know what? When the parents can't even afford a book for $13.95, they have 10 kids and they can't afford lunch tomorrow. How are they going to spend $13.95 on a book? You know,
right?
The child comes up to me and goes, "Can I have your autograph?" And he hands me a napkin.
Yeah.
You know, and at that point, I give the book to free, you know, to the kid for free. you know, that just breaks their heart. But that just shows you how much they admire you for what you're doing.
Oh, and I'll tell you what, the children's book group is truly blessed to have someone that contributes so much to these. Because books are still special. I mean, we talk about the new iPads and so forth. People say, well, the books are a thing of the past. I don't think so.
I agree.
I just think something about picking up a book. I can remember when I had books as a child that, you know, you'd write your name in the corner and what school you went to. So if anything happened to that book, they'd know exactly where to go back, where it would belong to. And that would come to my mind, too, when children would buy our book and take it. And I thought, wow.
You know, I just can't imagine someone with your book, Larry, you know, some mother reading your book to their children on an iPad. You know, I just don't see that happening.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, I think they like to hold it. I think the kids like to see it. I think they like to hold it in their hands. I think they like to close the cover, and you just can't do all that with an iPad.
Where are you going to be tomorrow? So in case some of our listeners in the Southwest might be able to say hi.
Well, I appreciate you asking about that. I'll be in tomorrow. I'm going to be doing a reading at the Buda Texas Library.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow morning, day after that, I'm going to be in the Midland Barnes & Noble doing a book signing. And then the following week, I'll be driving to the Pasadena Homeschool Convention.
Well, it sounds like Tim Ostermeyer's got a busy few days ahead of him.
Yeah. In fact, after that, I go to the Phoenix Homeschool Convention, then the Atlanta Homeschool Convention. I'm going driving coast to coast in my car filled with books and stuffed animals going from Pasadena to Atlanta.
It beats a job, doesn't it, Tim?
You know, I was an engineer for 31 years and photographed 750 weddings. I've never had so much as what I'm doing right now. Just selling books, people meeting their children, telling the kids the stories, and the parents looking at you with you know, excitement in their eyes as you sign their book for them. You know, it's all just wonderful.
It's all good. It's all good.
It's all good.
Well, Tim, we're so thrilled to have you join us tonight and share some of your adventures. What a spectacular life you lead and have led. I want to tell everyone, too, give us the website, so I'm sure they can buy your book through your website.
Yeah, they can contact me through the website. They can see all the covers on the website. And the website is www.funadventurewildlifebooks.com. It's a little long, so I'm going to say it again. Funadventurewildlifebooks.com. Just remember, fun, adventure, and wildlife books.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for coming on the show tonight. With your busy schedule, we really appreciate it. I know our listeners around the world enjoyed this hour immensely. And we hope all the best for Tim Ostermeyer.
Larry, thank you so much. I just so much enjoyed the time with you, and you asked such intelligent questions, and I just really wish the best for you.
Well, we'll do this again. You, when your snow monkey book's ready to roll, we'll have you back on. We'll talk some more animals because we can talk animals for days. And a fantastic guest. Good show, Dr. Day.
Great show. The way Tim describes his books, it's a must. You have to have them.
Oh, absolutely.
And so enthusiastic. I can basically see the pictures already. And I have a suggestion, Tim. How about baby vultures?
Well, I'll tell you one fun little story. I take a duck with me wherever I go. When I go read to schools, they make it think it's a penguin. I tell them I put a...
Well, We lost poor Tim again. It's just so remote down in Texas. We want to remind everyone. The next week on the show, Jenny DeVoe, fantastic singer from the Midwest, and we'll be sharing some of her music and some of her adventures. We want to thank Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson for taking care of the technical responsibilities, and it was a challenge tonight. And as always, Dr. Henry Day, good job, doctor.
Thank you, sir. Great show tonight.
Oh, it was. As long as we could keep him here, it was fantastic. Have a great week, everybody. This is Larry Batson, and you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.